this series. Just like you say, it's a final bridge. What we have done up to this point, we did five messages that were driving home, I trust, an understanding of the definition and the detailed definition. Mysteries are dispensational, and the mysteries of Paul are purely grace dispensational, except for the man of lawlessness, this mystery. And so we've seen ages and dispensations in definition. But it's really interesting when we work through this study that I mentioned I had four books that were designated books to the concerning the mysteries. I will talk about them here. I have them up here. There are a couple of other books that are important, that are interesting, and in relationship to mysteries, and they will be able to help us. So my subject this morning is our bridge into the first mystery that we want to cover is how many mysteries were revealed by Paul for the church. So the number of mysteries, how many are there? In other words, how long are we going to be dealing with mysteries? And you have to kind of figure out, we're not going to be doing four messages on every mystery, but we're going to be doing pretty close to that, because I think we need some of the detail. And we're talking about, well, in fact, it's interesting, the mystery of the dispensation happens to be one of them. And so when we come to next week, we'll start, and I will give you the chart. Many of you already have the chart of the mysteries, and I will have that available. And I'm still trying to figure out how everything that has happened in the last, 6 weeks. To get in there with his series, some have asked that I do the mysteries series and put it online so that the outlines are available when we start the message instead of afterwards. And it is a major project for me to do that because my mind is working. Like I said, I work clear through the benediction, and I'm still working on it afterwards often. I'm thinking it through, and it's going through my mind, and I feel like I leave things out if I don't do it afterward. So we may work on that. We're working on that, but we have to figure that one out. Maybe next week we'll get that chart online so you have a list of the mysteries that I'm planning to cover. And we'll talk about the nuances of those mysteries with that. So what we're going to do is, you'll understand why the title says how many, because there's a wide variety. It's really interesting. I went on the internet, I've got some of it in these notes, to see what was happening. I don't know who copied who or where, but it was all interesting. To see that, and I told you there were some interesting things in the names of the mysteries, especially the incarnation mystery. Because of that, I was really, no comment on it. So before we really get tangled with the introduction, let's pray. You blessed us over and over and over. And we see it as we're living here on earth. We have absolutely no idea the extent of the spiritual blessing here in heaven with the right hand. Undoubtedly, there are so many that you protect us from these wonderful things because we're either not ready or incapable of understanding until we get the mind of Christ as far as and with our new body. But we do have the mind of Christ here, and we can be learning them. And as we mature, we're thankful that they can contribute substantial things. We thank you again for this privilege in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there's some problems with mysteries that all come around this issue of the number. I won't call somebody a heretic that doesn't believe in the same number I do. But I do look at some of the ways they handle them and how they manage them. I find that there are those who get literal in some funny places and they ignore everything else. And that frustrates me because that's in violation of a whole lot of hermeneutics. And so these problems, how many people talk about mysteries and have any idea what we're talking about, mysteries in Scripture? You don't hear often an understanding and teaching of mysteries. In the reading, I tend to read broadly, which means I read some of the old dispensationalists. I read a lot of other areas of theology. And it's sad to me when I look in places that should have a fairly exhaustive writing on mysteries that neglect them. I don't know whether they have the same fear that I have had of the mystery. Like I say, if you were to go to some churches and you were to talk about the mysteries, they wouldn't understand them at all, and they wouldn't be able to comprehend the contents of the mysteries in many cases. And I'm not putting people down because of their ignorance, but what I'm putting them down for is the fact they haven't been taught the spiritual life so they can mature. That's the scary part of it. We play church, they play church every Sunday, they're faithful at church, and all they get are, like I used to say, they often get dehydrated water from the pulpit. And so that's what seems to happen. They don't even get skim milk, in many cases. And it's sad. The definition of mysteries. The Bible is rather clear in defining the mysteries. I mean, we took 5 hours, not quite 5 hours, but essentially that, to study the definition. And I read what these people have written, and I listen to some of them online, and they'll go to some of the same passages and miss more than half of the content of the verses that are important for people to understand. One thing I notice so often is these people who profess to be dispensationalists make no distinction between dispensations and ages. And they're mingled with these definitions. And what is interesting, when he says he hid the mysteries from angels, or angels and from generations, or from ages and generations, let's go with that, they don't understand the importance of that distinction. And I read that passage this morning. Then there's this question of how many mysteries are there? And just to understand it, they're really, really important. You know, it's kind of interesting how often here over the many years we have been involved with the mysteries, though we don't push them hard like we're going to be doing in this series. I mean, we'll cover them. We're going expository preaching takes us through some of these things often. And we mention them, but this is just the focus is going to be on mysteries. Our word mysterion occurs 29 times. That does not mean there are 29 mysteries. That's in the New Testament. But in Paul, what we have are 20 mysteries. I mean, 20 times it's occurred, the word occurs. Three times in John and Revelation. Three times in the Gospels. I was looking again and doing some review last night, and there are those who are super eager in having the material for mysteries that aren't called mysteries. I mean, if it doesn't call it a mystery, it's not a mystery. And so to them, it must have been mysterious. And so they decided it was a mystery. And that was a sad thing because it misleads people in the matter of their hermeneutic as to whether we're going to accept something as a mystery, though we're going to be looking around the fatness of the mysteries outside of the use of the word mystery. And so it's kind of interesting. In the Gospels, three times, you have the mystery related either to the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of God. The spread in Paul, you have six of the Pauline epistles in which it occurs. Now, when you look at the counts that I have listed in the introduction, you'd expect more occurrences in Romans than are there. And in Romans 11:25, that deals with the illustration of Israel. So it's really one time we'll be there. Then in 1 Corinthians, a carnal church gets all this information on mystery. We spent that time in 1 Corinthians 2. And you say, how could you write this letter to a carnal church when they're not incapable of being mature until they get that settled? There were some spiritual ones, we know that. Five times. Ephesians. Okay, you can stand up and cheer if that's your favorite book. It depends on the time. My favorite books are all over the, I just love Paul, that's all. And you notice, this is the way I look at it. When I look at these, I look and I see in chapter 1, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, there's a great spread in the use of mystery. Then you have to find out if they are a mystery, it's used in a different way. Colossians four times, once in all chapters except for three. So you can see it's important in that segment. Remember, Paul wrote Colossians and Ephesians very close together, and so that will be very important to us. One time in 2 Thessalonians, and that's the one that relates to the mystery of lawlessness, and then we have it two times in 1 Timothy. Then mystery is found three times. Kind of interesting. I'm not planning to go into Revelation and dealing with the mystery that relates to the seven messengers, the seven candlesticks. The seven messengers are seven pastors. Seven candlesticks are seven churches. And that's easily defined in chapter 1 of Revelation. But I want to stick with Paul in this. Now, it's interesting, and I've mentioned it almost every message, the hyperdispensationalists, many of them believe in one mystery or one super prominent mystery, and they will ignore the rest if they even acknowledge them. I've gotten some of them in a corner. And they've essentially said, oh, no, there's only one mystery. But the others, they use the term mystery as a figure of speech. And that's not true. It's interesting because the mystery in the singular is found 22 times out of that 29. So it's kind of interesting when you have the articular. You have 23 singulars, but 5 plurals. And so there's more than one when you have plurals, but it's interesting, only one verse which relates to it. And I'll talk that about at the end of this. Our key passages that establish that definition idea, we have gone through them. And in these verses use the word mysterion, and that is Romans 16:25, 1 Corinthians 2:7, Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:26. But the thing is, a mystery is not obscure. It has been revealed. It was revealed to Paul for those to whom it was addressed. And so when we understand that it was revealed, at a point in time in God's program. It came out of the decree, and it was very poignant at that point. And so I make that note, and we have done it in the bulletin covers and other things. A New Testament mystery is something to be seen or brought to light. And I'm using two Greek words that are used to describe it as we study the definition. Making it manifest, and it's not something to be solved. I was reading in a book where they actually said it was not to be solved. It was not like a murder mystery. And I smiled because that's exactly what Scripture says. And so there's a confusion of the number of mysteries. And I just kind of want to look at the sources and the way mysteries are handled. This may seem like it's more seminary kind of related. It's information I don't think it hurts anybody to have. And then there are presentations. I went online and spent quite a bit of time trying to see how they handle things. And I saw some who I knew believed in just one mystery who tried to slide around it so nobody could peg them. In other words, they just tried to obscure it more and more. They really just believed in one. And I was sad to have that happen. Now, it's interesting how when you study mysteries and the books that are available over the years, and I have the lists of mysteries from the books that I've had in my library that I have tried to accumulate. I thought I had another one, and it was a fraud. I call it a mystery, and it was not anything to do with Bible mysteries, though it related to the Bible. And I thought it was pretty sad because it was confusing. But I think the most dominant volume in the 30s and the, or in, well, up into the 50s, I should say, is this volume by Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside wrote this book. It was copyrighted by the Wazo, by the Birds, the Wazo Brothers, which was a Plymouth Brethren press. You have to watch them. Somebody was talking to me about Plymouth Brethren on my journey. And I tried to explain it to somebody who didn't know the Lord. It's kind of hard to explain what Plymouth Brethren were in that matter. But Ironside was what was called Open Brethren. And so I just wanted to show you I have them. No, I wanted to show the book to you. I put the bibliographical material in here because I wanted to demonstrate something in this. There are 124 pages in this booklet. That's not very big to cover subjects like these. To me, it would be almost an outline. Ironside's book tended to be this way. They were very much simplified, and they communicated well. I'm thankful for Ironside. I learned as a young person that, okay, one down. I learned that he was, without Ironside, I think a lot of fundamental churches would have lacked any content. Because you go into meetings and there, if somebody is preaching on those subjects, you know, like on Ephesians or Colossians or Ruth or whatever book he was, or Philemon, I just think of the, how many times I heard the same illustrations that were taken from Ironside, when messages were preached. And it was kind of, it was just funny that you could tell by the illustrations how many people were dependent on Ironside. And Ironside was a pretty fair scholar. He wasn't very distinctive. But anyway, he presents seven mysteries. He starts out with Matthew 13. He doesn't call them mysteries of Paul. And so the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is not Pauline. It's in the book of Matthew. And Paul did not write Matthew. But the rest of them, he's got the mystery of God finished. That is Revelation 10, which is Johann and John. So you cut them back, you end up with five mysteries of Paul. But the thing is, a mystery of lawlessness doesn't apply to the church. And so it's kind of interesting the way these are stated and when I look at them. And we will see this dominance of the mystery of the rapture of the church. Yeah, it wasn't known beforehand, but when you go out, behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. This is just to drop some seeds. Where is the rapture primarily found? 1 Thessalonians 4. When was Thessalonians written related to Corinth? It was before. So as far as a mystery, it's not the mystery of the rapture, it's the mystery that says we'll not all sleep, but we're going to be changed into something like we are. He uses a verb of allelos. So I make that note. In fact, I really should have put two, because non-Pauline mystery should be the mystery of God finished. The other one, I looked so long for this book, I gave up on it. And Kathy said she managed to find one of these. And so I went back and looked again, which means I went and looked further. And I got a copy of it. And this is W. E. Vine, 12 Mysteries of Scripture. Now, obviously, it wasn't printed with this kind of a cover. If you're getting clever about noticing printing, you look at that and you're going to think almost print on demand, which this was, on it. And so I got it. I was so thankful. I value it now because I have a picture of W.E. Vine in the back, on it. And he has 12 mysteries of Scripture. And these mysteries, he has listed in the 12. He has a mystery of the kingdom of God. Oh, boy. As soon as I saw that, it kind of made me spook. Because you realize mystery is used of the kingdom of the heavens first in Matthew, and then it is used of the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he put Matthew 13:11 in here, which means he didn't see the difference between the mystery of the kingdom of God and the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. So that kind of made me a little unhappy. Because I thought he knew better. You know, you hope people know better with it. But of the 12, he has a mystery of the kingdom of God. He has Revelation 1:20, which is Johannine. The mystery of Babylon, which is Revelation 17:5. God's purpose in judgment, Revelation 10:7. Now, don't forget there are three times mystery is used in Revelation. And so by the time you remove, he didn't see a distinction with these. So anyway, when we get right down to it, he doesn't have that many Pauline mysteries. Well, he has most of them, but he has a bunch of other stuff mixed. Now, he doesn't say that this is a book on the mysteries. Now, what did I do? I took, and you see the count in pages. 108 pages. Not 108 pages. I'm looking at the wrong one. 81 pages. 81 pages. That includes the index. 12 goes into 81. 6 plus. Not much said. I'm sad. And Vine is our good friend that did the expository dictionary. When we understand that. Bless his heart. He saw it as important, and what he had to say affected a group of Plymouth brethren in a positive way. And so I say thank you, Father. But he doesn't help them to understand more than a surface view of the mysteries. And that's why I put pages on these. I wanted you to see how little digging they did in these mysteries. Now there's a guy named Host. There is no date often in these British printed items, and let's see, there's no hint outside of knowing how they printed books in those days. He probably did this, I would guess, maybe right after the turn of the last century, probably in the early 1900s. He has two Brayson mysteries. He doesn't focus on Paul. John Ritchie happens to be a guy who was a printer, and this little book was printed by a Plymouth Brethren guy. So far we have three Plymouth Brethren writers that had the list of mystery. Now look how long this one is, 108 pages. Now, when we count these, because he's got them mixed up, I didn't bother to count them very carefully. And so I didn't put them in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Nine mysteries. Now notice you've got the same problem. You have mystery of Babylon. You have the mystery of God in Revelation 10:7, and you have Matthew 13:4 and Mark 4 and Mark 8. So you have to eliminate three of them up front, which takes it down to six, and then you take the mystery of iniquity out for the church, and you only have five. So he doesn't have very many, and you're getting 10 pages. That's a bit more than Vine had, and he predated Vine. Another mystery book, and I felt so good when I found it, I've had it for quite a while, is this one was, well, as you can just look at my notes because I put what I wanted in here. This was done by Loazo. It's a Mystery Doctrines of the New Testament. Well, that was a nice title, and this is probably the better book of the stack I had of books that were identified specifically with mysteries. T. Ernest Wilson was a missionary in Angola. A, since it was Loazo, I knew that it was another Plymouth Brethren author. And he served in Angola for 40-some years. He has 123 pages. He lists 15 mysteries in four categories. That's not a very big book. Again, what I'm emphasizing is, even with the list, he doesn't identify them very carefully. And so you have doctrinal mysteries. And when you look through the doctrinal mysteries, and I read them because I've studied this a lot of times, and I'm always curious if I didn't know the passages, the mystery of the faith, the mystery of the gospel, mystery of Jew and Gentile in one body, mystery of the bride, mystery of godliness. You know, I can understand what he's doing with those, except with the mystery of the bride, he takes us through Revelation 19 and 20, with it. And then, he has dispensational, the mystery of the kingdom of the heavens. He didn't call them the heavens as it is in Greek. Mystery of Israel's blindness. Dispensational, he says, the mystery of the rapture of the church. In other words, he did the same thing. He said it was a whole rapture, not just a part of the rapture event. And so I will overlook that somewhat. Mystery of his will, the mystery of God. Now, it's kind of interesting to include those as dispensational as if the others were not. Jew and Gentile in one body is so dispensational, it's not even funny. Then he has a devotional, which is mystery of the indwelling Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then he calls the diabolical mysteries. And it's fun because when we're working at organizing things, it's fun to see how others do it. And so the mystery of iniquity, that is really the word, mystery of lawlessness and mystery of Babylon the Great. I made these notes. I could have done more than I did. I say mysteries of, and it is singular in John 1. So we have the books that were written that I could retrieve. I went all kinds of places without going into some of the theologies. And then this is not a book that is written for mysteries. This book, I trust you've seen it most of the way around. That is Clarence Larkin's book on dispensational truth. This one was revised a little, so they fattened the title up. And on page 151 in here, or I think it's 152 really, now you have to find it. It gets me in here. I just opened it to this page. Dispensational teaching of the Great Pyramid. That turned me off on him for a while. There we go. Whoops, Oath of Covenant. That's not mystery. There is a chart in dispensationalism, dispensational truth. You want to take a look at them? I've got them here. So it's kind of interesting the way he handles them. Larkin is very intriguing, and I am very thankful for Clarence Larkin. These charts were done more than 100 years ago. Most of them were done in 1916. So it's been over 100 years ago. He did some very interesting things in these. There's a large percentage of this is worthwhile, not dispensational truth from the Great Pyramid. He has, and it's only about four pages where these are found. And what he has is 11 of them, and he includes John's mysteries, and I underlined the seven stars and seven candlesticks, because that's Revelation. Then you have Mystery of Babylon the Great in Revelation. I should have underlined that one. Oh, I did. I did underline Babylon the Great. Israel's blindness is, it's dispensational in that, we are in an era where Israel is blind, and it's to our advantage, because we're in the place of blessing at the moment, and that's part of the, and so it's hard to, I don't like to out categorize it outside. And he also has a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. I hope that Larkin wasn't someone who did not distinguish between the kingdom of God and kingdom of heavens. He may use them interchangeably. So those are examples in books. And you say, oh, you left out one. Well, I didn't leave out a book. Because I thought before I'll get to the other book, and that is, I want to talk about some of these representations on the internet. Trying to figure out where they're coming from, I did not have time to listen to the messages of a lot of these guys, but I did take some of their written things. I don't even know who Jeff Shirley is. He may be Jeff Shirley and Mircea. I don't know. But the thing we know, the hyperdispensationalists have jumped on the online opportunity, and there are a huge number of them that are on online. They are cagey, some of them, in that they never call themselves hyperdispensationalists unless you know who they are. It was really interesting when we, early on when Les Feldick was on, and he sounded good. I remember a seminarian came in and said, I saw this guy on TV and he was right down the the orthodox line of things. It was Les Feldick. And he was a hyper-dispensationalist that believed in one mystery. And I'd like to think he's with the Lord. I didn't listen to him enough to hear the gospel accurately presented, but that doesn't mean he didn't in that matter. And so anyway, when you see anybody that believes in just one mystery or suggests that one mystery is dominant over all any other mysteries, be suspicious that they are hyper-dispensational. Now, what that means is they do not believe the church started in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. That's one thing that all hyper-dispensationalists agree on. The church did not start in Acts 2. They have several places they start. You have Acts 8. You have Acts 28 with Bollinger. You have some very interesting places. So we have to... That is a big problem as far as I can see, those who do that. I talked to a hyper about it, and he said there was just one mystery. Of course, I wanted to make sure that he was willing to commit himself to it. So he did. And then I asked him, what about the plurals? What about the other mysteries that have a definite article in front of them? And then he started to squirm. And he still was determined to make this one mystery. They don't even want to define it accurately because they're trying to conglomerate some of them together. And so what happens online, you'll see seven mysteries. I suspect that comes maybe, I'm not sure whether it's Ironside or there's some source then in which these are found. Now it's interesting, and this Jeff Shirley guy had a nice list, so it was easy. The mystery of incarnation. See, now that happens to come out of Larkin. Larkin did the mystery of incarnation. And that means they stopped at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and did not pursue the concept of godliness. In other words, when we get to the mystery of godliness, we are going to do the word studies that will demonstrate why godliness is important as a mystery. You know, how it affects us. Just because Christ became incarnate, and that's the illustration to set us up for godliness, doesn't mean anything that we can't be godly. That's the thing. It's so easy. I mean, Christ was godly. We can be godly because of Christ. And we will see that. But the definition of godliness comes right out of 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in flesh. And that's beautiful when you think about it. The whole idea of living out eternal life and seeing Christ. His life, seeing something of him, and that's an awesome privilege as we understand it. Well, again, I'm getting into these, it's too easy. But he has a mystery of blindness for Israel, mystery of the church, the mystery of the indwelling Christ. His titles are a little different. The headship of Christ, translation of the church. That's kind of interesting. Use the word translation for rapture, but he's saying the same thing. But it's the mechanism in 1 Corinthians 15, and the mystery of lawlessness. So he had seven as an example. Arnold Fuchsenbaum, it was interesting, ultimately nine. I tried to figure out where he went with it. I used his divisions. He had the mystery of the kingdom. I should have put numbers with these others, not, highlighted them, the mystery of the seven stars and lampstands. See, he uses the word translation when it comes to 1 Corinthians 15, of Israel's hardening, satanic mystery. That's an interesting one, when he does that. Now, I don't know who runs versebyverseministry.org. I tried to find out, but I've come to the conclusion there are a whole lot of people that want to advertise on the internet, but they don't want to advertise who they are. I don't know if you've ever looked for somebody who wanted to find out where they went to school. Really hard sometimes. And who they affiliate with. Look for church doctrinal statements. You have a terrible time trying to find out there's some Christ church or something like that, and you can't tell what they affiliate with or what they believe. And it's like not calling a Baptist church by calling it by some other name. I think that's fraud in its own way. They're doing it to bring people in. And I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. The only reason I'm not ashamed is I might be ashamed of a lot of Baptists, but I believe in the Baptist distinctives, which I know are Bible distinctives, and when we relate to it. And so, this verse by verse, he had eight, or whoever did this list, but they got Matthew 13 and Revelation 1. They don't emphasize Paul. Now, sometimes I get this sense in looking over these things that because they don't want to isolate on Paul, they don't want to be identified as somebody who takes Paul literally. They will throw these other things in. That's what kind of scares me. I don't know what they're trying to do. And so if you cut those out of here, in this list, you end up with what? We end up with, we end up with five. And so it's just kind of interesting. In other words, there's a lot of confusion in the way it's done. But you've got to realize if you are going to preach on mysteries, you've got to look up all the words and all of the context. You have to pursue the context. If you don't pursue the context, it's not going to work with it. Okay. Whoops. I make noise moving this. Okay. Now, number three. Not a book that's designed, a booklet that's designed on mysteries. I'm still running with Dr. Schaefer's booklets. And I probably would I bought that book that they ran through Zulon. One of the reasons I didn't buy the book was because I already have the typos in here and I don't need to buy a book to get the same typo. Some of you may understand what I'm talking about on it. That's one thing my brother did. Dr. Schaefer asked us to give him errata. And Dale did. Not one of them was changed. And that made us kind of, we were not happy. Okay, this book is called The Maturing of the Spiritual Christian. Now, he has mysteries in here, and it's just a grocery list, essentially, and on page 14, he has 12 Pauline mysteries, and that's what he does. I mean, I appreciate his list tremendously, and honestly, I'm going to go back through it all over again. I've done it several times because I want to confirm that that's what scripture says. And so the list is from page 14, through page, probably 35. So it's just 20 some pages. So there's not a lot in here, but I believe that he's as close as anybody else that I can find because he emphasized Pauline mysteries. He went through Paul, went through the context, did the word studies. And so he has, I mean, they're just basically line listed, not quite, but you have them. And that is And if you don't have that or the book through Zoom on, you need it, in spite of the typos. I can say that because we were kind of not too happy about having those typos, on it. We're all good at typos. And I'm the best. I'm good at one thing. I'm one of the best typo makers. So, there are other mysteries that are not found in Paul, and that's the kingdom of the heavens, and it's sort of mysteries there. Kingdom of God, they include that often, and the seven mysteries in Revelation. I think they're important, but otherwise, no. Now, let's just do this to bridge, and that is, when you have mysteries plural, there must be a reason for plurals, and you want to realize that if it's plural, it's more than one. And so the references in the plural, these are articular plurals that I have listed, and you have them in the outline. The mysteries of the kingdoms of the heavens, that's not Paul. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it is not given. He's talking to disciples, and is ultimately going to carry over the dispensation of grace, but is not given to Paul specifically. Larkin does some interesting bridging between the kingdom of the heavens and some of the other mystery material. So that's the kingdom of the heavens. The mystery of the kingdom of God. In Luke 8:10, it says, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Who's the you? The disciples. That is the 11. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And so he says, mysteries are given to you. I'll give them parables so they won't understand for sure. That's kind of an interesting way that Christ did that. Then you have mysteries in 1 Corinthians. Oh, that's not right. 1 Corinthians 14. No, that's right. It's 15:2. I better look. Told you I was trying to get all of this stuff done before I left. And that means I get hurried, and then my mistake proneness gets worse. Getting there. Oh, I know better than this. Okay, I want to make sure it's 14. 14:14:2. So if you're tagging along, I've got the right verse there. Okay. There's a reason I carry more than one pen. It's 13:2. Yep. Okay. That's probably more of a problem with reading my handwriting. 13:2 there. And then we have an anarthros plural is found in 1 Corinthians 4:1. And it says, so let a man account of us like or as the ministers of Christ and like or as stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it's kind of interesting. It's an as, the as is a mark of a simile. In other words, we are not stewards, but we're like stewards. And that is in involving that in 4:1. And Paul is including himself here primarily. Then in 14:2, which is where I was looking, Yeah, isn't this great how good I'm doing with this? See, that was a problem. I didn't get a proofread this more extensively. I usually can do it by doing my references. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaks unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. And, okay, I know exactly what happened. My notes, you have them right, I think. It says, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries on it. Yeah, I can blame Microsoft for that. I left off that last line on it. Now, some of the examples of singulars. The mystery. I want to just mention them as we wind out the hour, and that is, we have the mystery of the desirous will of God. Ephesians 1:9. How does this relate to? No, that's interesting. They try to make them all the same. The mystery of the Christ. I find a lot of people have trouble understanding the Christ. We had an interesting conflict over my chart in my In Christ book when I said that the Christ is a technical term of Christ, for Christ as the head of the church and the body, which is as an entity. And they thought I was saying every time you see the Christ, it means that that's what I'm trying to say. And when you tie that in with the book, it's really evident that you only do that because of context on it. The mystery of the Christ. So I am not uniformitarian. The mystery of the dispensation, which in verse 8 of Ephesians 3 is the of grace. The mystery of the gospel. What gospel is this in Ephesians 6:19? There's a specific. You see, they're trying to push these all together. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't know how anybody can confuse that with some of these other mysteries. The mystery of the God. Oh, there's a fun trail to pursue in that. The mystery of the faith. 1 Timothy 3:9. The mystery of the godliness. And then the fact, when we get down to 1 Corinthians 2:7, where we were last week, a mystery addressed to mature believers is a mystery. And it can be not so specific. A mystery of all Christians changed on it. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:51. They are specific, separate mysteries. And I just put kind of an abbreviated list as examples down through here. And so next week we will come back and we are beginning to wade into the mysteries. And we'll do one and we'll see how long it takes to get what we need to get done. I think we need to understand that if they're for maturing Christians, we need to see how a spiritual Christian can mature by that mystery. See, that's the idea. That's the value of this. That's why I walk with fear and trembling when it comes to this subject, because it's too easy. But we'll hand out. That should be familiar. This is a chart of the mystery. And we'll make sure you have it. If you've lost it, don't remember it, you will get it. And you will lose a new one if you want to. Anyway, that's where we're at. Thank you, Father, for this day, for your blessings in it. And thankful for the privilege we have of our great God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.